As Christians who celebrate Advent, not 6 weeks of Christmas, but Advent, we can find ourselves out of step a bit with the culture around us. It's especially true since the way our culture tends to celebrate Christmas is in a very sentimental way. I sometimes feel like we kind of fall into this deep nostalgic stupor this time of year. I don't mean to sound harsh about it. I actually really love this season and can be as nostalgic as the next one, and happily so. But what we are invited into spiritually as we come to worship in the season of Advent is something altogether different. The voices that have been speaking out of our texts are strong and urgent, strident even at moments, looking to shake us awake so that we will be alert and watching and ready for the way of God with us. We hear in this season John the Baptist. Don't get more strident than our brother John. We hear from the prophet Isaiah. Last week from the prophet Mary when she is singing the Magnificat. I don't think there's any other way to name her in that moment than as prophet. Each one of them is beating the drum of justice as they speak. Even as they envision and long for a day of peace, they speak of justice because they know we cannot have peace until everything that is wrong is first made right. 2 weeks ago, I ended my sermon by sharing the story of someone who kind of woke up to this call of justice in the middle of a grocery store and stood up and spoke their voice. And I know after hearing people talk to me about it, you all felt as convicted as I did when you heard that story. And I'm okay with that, with us feeling a little convicted, a little uncomfortable in the season of Advent, because the work of God with us is a work that is designed to form and reform us so that we can be faithful in the world. In fact, that is why Jesus came, according to Paul in the book of Romans this morning. We have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith. That call to the obedience of faith has taken on a particular edge for me this Advent, because I've been hearing the voices of the prophets chanting in one ear and the needs of the world in the other. And the prophets, they are insistent. Keep awake. Repent, for the day of the kingdom is near. And last week, Mary brought to us this incredible vision of God bringing down the powerful and lifting up the lowly. And the needs of the world, they are just as urgent. And people are feeling the urgency. On Tuesday night, 250 people showed up at the local library for an event in the middle of December entitled Allies for Social Justice and Environmental Progress. 250 people. I had the honor of facilitating the breakout session on religious tolerance with a wonderful woman and new friend named Sahabia Ahmed Usmani. She was one of the panel speakers at the library before we went into our work sessions, and she gave a very articulate description of what it's like to be a Muslim American in this current context, and it was not a pretty picture. And when we were planning for our breakout session, we wondered, how many people will come and want to talk about religious tolerance in this town? And we were delighted to see our room packed with people wanting to talk about how we can live together as people of many faiths, of no faith, of different faiths, in a way that gives witness to the unity that our community can show. The impact of the words of the prophet in one ear and the needs of the world in the other is clear. You cannot just sit there. You have got to do something. After all, Gordon asked us last week in his sermon on the Magnificat whether we believe these four things. I'm putting them in different order. God cares about and is at work in the world, and that nothing is impossible with God. That God needs people, and there are people willing to be needed. The impact of that question is, are you willing to be one of those people who is needed by God? Are you willing to stand up and speak up and do something? Now, this is where I would leave you for today, if it weren't for the fact that the text for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Advent, kept nudging quietly in a slightly different direction. Because today we have the story of Joseph. And he is not the mover and shaker of this story. In fact, as I said to the children, we never hear his voice. But I was taken this week by his utter faithfulness, his quiet, steady, vulnerable, risk-taking faithfulness. Can you imagine how broken his heart must have been when he first learned that Mary was going to have a child and he knew it wasn't his? Can you imagine the anger that must have flared in him? If you've ever been on the other side of that kind of a betrayal, you know from the inside where that expression, seeing red, comes from. He could have raised his voice in righteous indignation and no one would have judged him. But that is not what happened. Somehow, in the middle of this broken heart, a space opened up in him for compassion. The text tells us that being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, he planned to dismiss her quietly. When I think about faithfulness and obedience, compassion is not always the first word that comes into my mind. But that is the picture of faithfulness that we see in this text today. And Joseph offers this compassion before he even learns the truth about what was going on. It was a vulnerable move on his part to let compassion guide him in his response. And it made me think of something a colleague said around this week. It was a video of a man whose name was Kareem, who stood out in a street in the middle of a city, blindfolded, with this sign propped up at his feet. And some of the words were these: I am an Arab American. And like many people who are black, brown, women, LGBTQ, Latino, Muslim, Jewish, immigrant, other, however you name it, I'm scared. But I have hope that I am safe with you. And together we can build a community of care rather than fear. And so then on the bottom it said, will you embrace me as I willingly embrace you? Will you shake my hand or give me a hug or take your picture with me? And then the biggest words on the bottom were, I trust you. And then you get to watch as people kind of walk by. I mean, this is a city street. People are guarded. They look at this thing. They look at him. They think he's strange. And you finally see the first person who kind of breaks through all that and shakes his hand. And then the people just start streaming by, hugging him, taking pictures. It's a beautiful image. And as I was thinking about this man, I was thinking about how somehow, when his heart was broken and gripped in fear, there was a space that opened up for compassion. And it was precisely the vulnerability that he offered to everyone walking by that opened up their compassion. He had no idea how people would treat him on that street. And part of what I think about as we hear these texts is that God is with us in the moments of our vulnerable, risk-taking faithfulness. So how can we make space for the Spirit to open up our hearts? Well, I was at Hope Church Yoga this Wednesday. Just kidding, it really isn't Hope Church Yoga, but there were only three of us there, and we were all from Hope Church. So, and the instructor set an intention for us that morning. Now, usually we get to set our own intention for our practice, but she had something on her mind and her heart, and she said we were all, whether we wanted to or not, going to be doing some work to open up our hearts to compassion. We're also doing this work of opening our upper backs and chests, which felt really good after all of the snow shoveling during the week. But the spiritual practice we were working on was opening to compassion. And she began by sharing a quote from the Dalai Lama's book, The Art of Happiness, that says, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. And if you want to be happy, practice compassion. And so we did. And all week long, I've been doing those opening moves with my breath as a prayer that the Spirit would open some space for compassion. Now, on Friday night, I was at a party, and I was talking to several clergy there about the classis meeting that's coming up in January when we have to all vote as elders and pastors about some book of order changes, because, you know, that's what clergy talk about at parties. There was dancing, and I'll have you know that my esteemed colleague was named the party animal of the night. So we can be proud of our Gordon. But before the dancing, we were talking classes. And one of my colleagues, as he was thinking about this important vote that's coming up, shared with us that he and his consistory have committed to reading the first 11 verses of Philippians 2 every morning for the next month. And in case you don't have that memorized, I will share with you the first of those verses. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And they are doing that not because he doesn't know how to vote, but because he believes that how we handle ourselves around difficult and contentious decisions matters. And he longs for us to be faithful as we find our way forward. I have a really dear friend who's probably one of the sharpest intellectual minds that I know. And she also receives insight from the Spirit through dreams. When she has something important to discern, she, in her waking hours, brings all of her intelligence, her rational thought, to figuring the thing out. But before she goes to bed, she prays for the Spirit to give her dreams. And boy, do they ever come. If I ever have something I need to sort out, I call her up and say, would you please pray for a dream for me? I don't have these gifts. And what I think about when I see how this dream worked in Joseph's life, and he has not just one, but three dreams in his short little part of the story. The dream cut through all of his preconceived ideas and allowed him to see what it was that was really going on, what God was up to in the world in ways that he could not discern. And I was thinking to myself, if we are to be faithful, we need that wider view. Friends, I have no doubt that there is much that God seeks to do with the passion of the prophets moving through us. Isaiah and John the Baptist and Mary, their insistent voices for justice and action, they call to us through this season. We need to be ready to stand up and speak out, no question. But I also have no doubt that God has much to do with us and inside of us if we are to be a faithful participant in that work. And there are probably as many, if not more, moments when we need to just sit down and be quiet and listen for the Spirit speaking to us through our breath, through the scriptures, through our dreams. Because the overarching theme of this season is that God is with us. And if we can stand in that truth and with that conviction, our celebration this weekend of the birth of our Lord will be so much more rich and full and joyful. Thanks be to God.